it's all about. They call me Long Tom Shorty. I know what love is all about.
Dan Holt with Long Tall Shorty here on Near Rocks. Before that, All Is Harvest, Uber Ride to Nowhere, Top Hat Black, Talk the Talk, and Charlie Mossbrook with Up Among the Stars.
Hello, guest.
Hello, radio host.
How are you, Dan Holt?
I'm very good. Very good.
Good. It's great to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're going to get up to that microphone a little bit. There we go.
Oh.
All right. My fault.
Sorry.
Should have been paying attention to that earlier. Welcome to the studio.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. So we've been talking for a couple of years. Like, I feel like every time I see you out at 10 by 3 or wherever, you know, you're playing, I'm just like, yeah, you should come down to the radio show. And you probably thought this didn't even exist, did you, after all this time?
I figured, well, I had heard around that you had a lot of stories. You're one of those storytellers, you know. No, I figured it existed and you just didn't want me here. That's... Oh,
no, man. I knew you'd be great on the mic. I mean, you sing well, you perform well, you must do interviews really well as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, it's going great.
I'm a great interview.
Yeah, so far, it's great. Is this your first time here?
I think it's the first time here, yeah. I was on this station many, many years ago, but I don't think it was in this building.
We're talking about this outside. Where exactly was the other station when?
Studios have been here since the early 90s.
This would have been right about then, so it might have been here.
Just before that, they were up in the clock tower.
Oh, okay. Did they look a lot different than this?
Yes.
Okay, maybe it was here and it just didn't look the same.
They used to look
it was a long time ago.
They used to look much more institutional.
Yeah.
That institutional blue and gray.
Yeah,
all over.
I don't remember. It was messier than this is what I remember.
That's what's funny. People come down
here.
Cuz
it was here. Like records. I mean you have turntables here, but there was, you know, lots of record covers everywhere and, you know.
I think that's the thing that we hear the most, right? Like, people come down here, musicians are like, wow, this is cleaner than I thought it was going to be.
This is not your typical college radio station.
No, most of the time you go in and it's a mess. You know, most of the times I've done it. So.
Well, I have lots of questions for you, like two years worth of questions, but I need to ask you first. We just heard Long Tall Shorty.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
It's actually not my song. It's a song I learned from a Kinks record. A long time ago, that I thought was by Slim Harpo for many, many years. And I was introducing it as a Slim Harpo song. And then I decided to cover it. I looked at the record cover, and I can't remember the songwriter right now. It's on the CD. I don't even know who it is. I don't know. It's possible that it was written for them, for that record. But anyway, it's on the first Kinks record, You Really Got Me, 1964. It's just your typical sort of bragging, I'm awesome blues song. I'm a badass. You know what I mean? So I like the riff a lot, and it was cool to put some slide on it and stuff.
Now, this album that you're referring to, it's Dan Holt, Driftin'. I promise you I wasn't going to use your first and last name, only in reference to the CD, of course.
That's fine. You can use my first and last name on the air as much as you want.
Thank you, Dan Holt. So this was released August of last year. It seems like just yesterday, right? I mean, it was...
Yeah.
But you've got a bunch of tracks on here. We're gonna hear a few. You're gonna do a few live as well. Talk about the album, kind of how it came about, and you know the process through it.
Sure. I record my records at home. I got a little studio in my house, and this one started, late 2015. My last album came out in the beginning of 2015. And just started, the way my records always start is I just start writing songs, usually in hotel rooms. And once I've got like three or four songs, then it kind of feels like I'm writing a record. You know, before that, I'm just writing songs. So the songwriting part of it went pretty fast. It was probably done, mostly done by the middle of 16. But the recording took forever. I recorded the whole thing, started to mix it, and... like mixed and mixed and mixed and couldn't get it to sound the way I wanted it to. The first time I recorded it, I wasn't very careful. I was working quickly and I wasn't very careful with things like mic placement and just that mic placement and levels and stuff. And the performances were really good, but the sound was pretty terrible. So at some point I scrapped the entire thing and re-recorded the whole album. Which was a lot of work. And then, I mean, it was nice. I sort of had the original one as a guide, like for the arrangements and stuff, but still, it was a lot of work. I re-recorded the whole record, and then I mixed it. Even then, after it was re-recorded, I mixed it, I think, four times before I had what I wanted. It was a hard record to make. I don't really know why.
What is it about hotel rooms that brings out creativity? Like I know you're on the road, you do a bunch of festivals and stuff like that, but what is it about that brings it out?
I don't know. I write a lot of songs at the Red Roof Inn, though. I really do. I don't know why. They have that like faux hardwood floor. You know, maybe it's that. I mean, it's the simple answer is there's time to kill, and you've got your guitars there. So, but I write more on the road than I do at home for sure. I like to write really quickly, and when you're traveling, you know, let's say you check into your hotel at 3, you've got to leave for sound check at 8. You've got a finite amount of time. So if you're going to write something, it's going to happen fast. So that's part of it. I like to write songs very quickly. I don't like to labor over them for weeks and weeks. I usually write a song in one sitting, and then I'll clean up the lyric a little bit, but that's about it. Usually I'll write a song in one. If I don't finish it in one sitting, I'm probably not going to.
This song that you're about to play for us, mm-hmm. was it written in a hotel room?
Yes, actually. No. I'm sorry. No, it wasn't. It was written on my couch in my living room.
You could have lied to us.
I know. But my daughter, I was sitting with my daughter playing guitar. I have a cool sort of retro-looking guitar that's called a Recording King. And I was just playing it, hanging out. She's hanging out, watching videos. And I said to her, I said, I don't know what to play. And she said, you should write a song. So I wrote this very quickly. And she said, this is the first song on the next album, right? So that was cool.
That's awesome.
This is not on the record. This will be on the next record, hopefully.
Well, here I go again with your first and last name, but it's for a good reason. Dan Holt playing live here on Neo Rocks.
So this song's called Nobody's Finding Me.
All alone, Sunday morning, nowhere to be, nobody's calling. All alone, Sunday morning, and I feel like I wanna go home. Feeling like I wanna go home. Sitting in a corner, cup of coffee, nobody's listening, cause nobody's talking. Sitting in a corner.
Dan Holt, nobody's right. Finding me here on Neo Rocks. What do you put in your coffee?
What do I put in my coffee?
Yeah, you saying about it. Let's talk about it.
I knew we were going to get to this. Cream, mostly. I like Italian sweet cream. I enjoy that at home. I used to put Bailey's in my coffee when I drank, but I don't drink anymore.
Right.
I'm tuning while we talk.
No, that's fine. Go for it. That's what it's here for.
Cream, a little Italian sweet cream, you know.
You and I were talking off the air about coffee. I think my fascination, honestly, is just that I really like the taste of coffee. But if I drink a cup, I'm, like, done for days. Just the caffeine just gets to me. So there's a part of me that's just really envious. Like, every time I see you, you have coffee, and I'm like, dang, I want coffee. But I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't even really drink that much coffee. I've just become coffee man to you, you know?
I guess so.
When I'm in a bar, I don't drink. So when I'm in a bar, I'm looking to have something in my hand. And coffee works. I don't like to drink like Coke or anything like that if I'm going to sing. So,
well, and that's the thing too about your voice. You know, you've got this very, and I mean this, and I know I bust your, you know, acorns once in a while, but You have a very unique voice, and I mean that. I really do. And the first time I heard you, I think it was at Brent Kirby's 10x3. I remember doing sound for you, and I'm like, okay, I think I got this. I think I got this. And then he started playing. I'm like, yeah, I got this. I got this. And he started singing. I'm like, oh, boy, there's a lot of volume coming out. I was not ready for that. And once I, you know, collected myself and was able to listen, I'm like, dang, you've got a really unique voice. Do you hear that a lot?
I do. People either really like my voice or they don't like it at all. Like in reviews that I get and stuff for the records, sometimes it's very positive. It's like, this guy's a great singer. And other times it's like, everything's cool except for the vocal. So, yeah, I get that a lot. I think my influences are pretty wide from I'm influenced by a lot of singers who aren't blues singers. Mick Jagger, Ray Davies, people like that. More in their approach than in the way they sound. Really influenced by Dylan, obviously. But as a little kid, I started learning to sing from Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf records, and I think it just damaged me.
Well, you know, you mentioned Howlin' Wolf. I mean, him especially. I mean, he's got that growl that, you know, and you, the way you sing, you know, again, off air, you were talking about it, but you really, you try to sing the right way from the gut up, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're trying to...
Yeah, fortunately, I don't really have to try to do that. I just real naturally from the first time I sang as a kid, I just sang with my diaphragm, which is what you're supposed to do. All of your volume comes from there. If your volume comes from your throat, you'll lose your voice. So I don't know. I'm pretty lucky. I just very naturally did that. And I wish I could say I learned it, but I just did it real natural.
Side note real quick. Do you play any Howlin' Wolf songs in your...
Yeah, I do. I do. I play Killing Floor.
Okay.
That's it. That's really all I'm doing. Oh, and I've been doing, I've actually been doing Little Red Rooster lately, which is not his song, but he's the one who's known for it. It's a Willie Dixon song.
Can I put in a request for the next time I see you?
Yeah, yeah.
Highway 49?
Yeah, I'll work on it. Okay. I'll do that. I don't think it'll be next time you see me. I think I've seen you on Tuesday.
That's right.
he's got it on record now. He will use this.
Yeah, I love that song. So, you know, yeah. But I started singing. I learned to sing two ways. I learned to sing from blues records, and I learned to sing being in bands in high school and singing Judas Priest songs and AC/DC songs and Black Sabbath songs. And those are all big, yelling, loud-voiced songs. So
you go from that to... David Bowie.
Right.
Yeah, David Bowie's one of my heroes. Absolutely. I think anybody who is a performer or an artist of really any kind, you can learn. Bowie just did whatever he wanted for his entire career, and I think we could all do that a little bit more. And I was crushed when he died. I was just crushed. Yeah. He was brilliant. Yeah, I don't really have anything in common with them sound-wise.
Well, but that's the beauty about your music, though. I mean, you know, you have all these influences, and you know, you could still reach out, like you said, Mick Jagger to David Bowie to Judas Priest. You play a lot of, not a lot, but you play festivals. You've got one. You're going to be in Memphis in January. I know it's a ways off, but I'm always excited to talk about the you know, Memphis and Mississippi and all that. You're going to be down there. You actually won a contest in Marietta, correct?
Yeah, I won a regional blues challenge in Marietta. It's the Blues, Jazz, and Folk Music Society is the name of the organization, and I won their challenge in February, so I'll represent them in Memphis at the International Blues Challenge.
This is your second year down there, correct?
It's my third, actually.
Third, okay.
Yeah, and it might be my last. I think they've changed the rules where you can only go three times in your life, so I'm not positive. So I kind of feel like I have to win this year.
So before we get to your next song that you're going to play live, do you have any spots down there that you, now that you've been there, you know, a couple times, you've been there a few times, any spots that you'd love to hit down in Memphis when you're down there?
You know, it's the whole thing is a big whirlwind. It all happens on Beale Street. It's every venue on Beale Street, some that don't normally have music. The last time I played at it, I played in a pool hall.
Oh, wow.
Finished a song standing on a pool table playing harmonica, and then got scolded for it as soon as I came off stage by the owner. He's like, "You don't stand on the pool tables." I'm like, "I didn't know. I didn't. It was right there. It felt like a rock and roll thing to do, you know."
Not to totally geek out on this. Is this the same joint? I'm trying to remember the name where Robert Johnson was supposedly photographed in the. I'll look it up while you're playing. Just to make
no,
sure
the pool place is definitely not that.
Okay.
No,
okay.
But anyway, it's so you have venues like like Rum Boogie or the Blue City Cafe that have been there since the 40s. Yeah. And then you have newer venues. But there's – I don't know if I would say there's a place I like to hit because you're not seeing it in its normal light like what it's like every weekend. You know, it's just packed with way more blues talent than is normally there, even though it's Memphis. It's right. just – you have 125 bands and about 100 solo duo acts wow. from all over the world. So.
Well, you have a bunch of stuff coming up, bunch of concerts. We're gonna get into this one, and then we're gonna talk about all that and where people can find you. This next one you said is actually a cover tune, correct?
Yeah, yeah. It's my biggest influence as a songwriter is Ray Davies from the Kinks, which is not an ordinary blues influence. He's really not a blues songwriter, but I don't know, his use of characters and just his approach to songwriting has had a big impact on me. And this is from a record that they made called Muswell Hillbillies, which is that's my Desert Island disc. If I'm picking one record, it's that one pretty easily. You'd think it would be, you know, Muddy. I wish I could have my blues credibility and be like, yeah, oh yeah, Muddy Waters. But and this is a song from it that is it's kind of a blues song by the Kinks. It's actually probably got more in common with like New Orleans. It's got those big horns and stuff going on. But I came up with this arrangement a few years ago. I've recorded this 2 times for records and not used it, so maybe third time's a charm. But I like singing it. I've been singing it the last couple of days, and I like it, so I decided to play it. It's called Acute Schizophrenia Paranoia Blues. So just the title alone, you know.
We've got Dan Holt live here on Neo Rocks.
I'm too terrified to walk out of my home front door. They're demonstrating outside. Looks like they're gonna start a third world war. Went to my local head shrinker to have him classify my disease. He said it's one of the cases of acute schizophrenia he sees. The milkman spy in the grocery keeps on following me. The woman next door's an undercover for the KGB. The man from the Social Security is invading my privacy. Well, there ain't no cure for acute schizophrenia disease. I got acute schizophrenia. Cute schizophrenia.
Dan Holt here in studio. That's a cool cover.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. So people are listening to the radio. They're in their car. Or they're streaming right now at neorocks.com or wjcu.org. And they're wondering, I really like this Dan guy. I want to talk to him about coffee and the blues. Where can I catch him?
Well, as luck would have it, you can catch me at your event, at your show, which is called, what do you call that?
CLE Uncorked.
Yeah. That's Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Yeah.
This Saturday, I'm at a place in Mentor called Red Wine and Brew. It's a wine bar. That's usually a pretty cool gig. That's from 7 to 10. After that, I've got the Canton Blues Festival, June 8th. I play at 8 o'clock on the second stage, right before the headliner, whose name I can't remember, but you have it.
I like how you push that off on me. Thank
and
you.
I've got, what else am I doing?
Let me go to your website real quick and look for it. All right, got it.
At my website?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on my website. Go to Reverb Nation. That's where I sent it.
See what I did? I threw it back to you.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of great stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And we're going to play one more tune off of your record. What's the name of this one, Eric, that we're queuing up?
We're queuing up Long Night.
So tell us about this one. What's this one about?
The reason I picked it is because the first time I played it at 10x3, you said it was your favorite song that I ever played.
So I was hoping you would say that.
I felt like we had like a romantic, you know, little moment there. And I just wanted to you know, enhance that if I could.
I thought,
you know,
that was between us, buddy.
Try and strengthen our bond, if you will. I played a show in Angelica, New York, in a antique store, which, you know, nothing makes you feel more like a rock star than an antique store. So people are shopping and they're buying, you know, they're looking at tables and you know, whatnot shelves or whatever, and I'm yelling in the corner. It's basically what was going on. So it was a pretty terrible gig, and I went back to my hotel and I wrote this song, which it's called Long Night. It's not really about that. Well, it kind of is. I don't know. I don't know the best way to describe what it's about. We'll just say it kind of is about that.
Well, people are going to take a listen, and they can also hear all of your information or all your music and find out all the information about you at danholtmusic.com. That's H-O-L-T, danholtmusic.com. Dan, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Thank you very much. And Long Night right now on NeoRocks.
Dreams and a long day in my sleep.
sleep.